Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for August 22nd, 2015. And we have a very timely show for you today. I've recently seen a lot of concern for the global economy with a lot of dire predictions for September and the months that follow. So I called on my old buddy Dennis Korn, who is CEO of PrepareDirect, to ask him what's really going on with the prepper industry that provides food and supplies for health, security, and savings. Wanted to find out, you know, is there a run on food? Is there just a lot of interest? Is he, you know, is he swamped? Are there food reserves out there? What's the story? What's going on with the industry? Are we just hearing a lot of fear-mongering by people selling food reserves and safety and security, like some of the talk show hosts that, that are from Alex Jones to George Norrie and some of the others with the commercials that they run? And what's really going on? So I always like to call Dennis. He has a lot of philosophy and has even taught philosophy. I mean, he has a love of philosophy goes with his teaching philosophy at college level, and I appreciate his philosophically correct perspective on coming world events regarding what we can do to prepare. So we're going to be bringing him on the show today. I wanted to go into a little bit of what's going on in the world. First, some of you that are on my list have read the series that I have on September Reckoning series, that what's all this hullabaloo about latter part of September, all these converging events that fundamentalist Christians are talking about, a Shemitah. There's a lot of scientists that are talking about it from a whole different perspective regarding a surge in the field, the quantum field, gamma rays coming from the core of our galaxy. They're flooding the Earth and have been increasing the Schumann resonance of the Earth over the years from the long-term historical standard of about 7.8 up to about 11.3 hertz. And this directly involves not just the frequency heartbeat, you might say, of the Earth, the Schumann resonance, but it also directly affects the brain waves. And we're going to be going into that a little bit, but we're going to bring on Dennis Korn now. Dennis, thank you for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Right, glad to be here.
Dennis, we talked a little bit earlier today about some of the things that's going on with the industry, this has been a real concern of mine. I just mentioned how I appreciate your philosophically correct perspective on
this.
And I just wanted to kind of go over some of the points that you mentioned, that there's just a lot of fear-mongering going on. I mean, that incredibly, believe it or not, that there's a surplus of food reserves and preparedness supplies that's in the industry. Could you give a little background on that, so people got a
very quickly. By the way, I've been doing this, as you probably know, for 40 years. I've been in this industry, and so I'm quite aligned. I founded a company called Alpine Air Foods, which is now owned by Katadyn, and they have the Alpine Air brand, of course, and the Gourmet Reserve brand, which is the long-term food reserves that you and I have talked about. So people need to know that I've been involved, they say, with the industry for a long, long time as a manufacturer, as a retailer, as a consultant. So I'm always keeping in touch with the industry. I
mean, and you have a website that educates people about a lot of different dimensions of this whole.
LearnToPrepare.com.
LearnToPrepare,
and that's an informational site. It's a blog that has, you have to go to it to kind of see what's on there. But there's foundational articles. There's all my years of this industry kind of put into some very specific articles, not only about you know, how to prepare foods, what does long-term food reserves look like.
But nuggets of philosophical wisdom.
But there's the philosophical side of life, too. What questions do you ask? How do you get started? What's the most important parts of the preparedness and the various attributes that are necessary to fully engage yourself in this process? I'm a great believer, as I know you are, that information and knowledge and the truth and reliable information is essential if you're going to make the proper decisions, especially when it comes to items like food or water or what have you. These are essential things necessary during a catastrophe, and that's what I focus on that website. And so that's a bit of my background there. Now, specifically to your question, because I'm still active in it and have been for so many years, I talk to various suppliers at the very basic levels, the processors, the people who deal with the basic commodities, the freeze dryers, the dehydrators, those folks.
Yeah.
And what I have been told, matter of fact, I got back from a trade show, as I mentioned to you, 2 weeks ago, talking to all the key people who sell long-term reserves. I say key people that have been around for, say, 30 years plus. I'm not talking to some of the folks that just got started a couple of years ago or what have you, but people have been in the industry a long time. And the word is very simple. There are products available. Long-term storage foods are available. And in talking to the commodity people, plenty of commodities are available. And matter of fact, when I updated that particular category on my site, I've noticed that a number of those commodities actually have gone down in price a little bit from the last couple of years.
That's interesting.
It is interesting. And we're talking beans and grains and oats and that sort of thing, and all the different kinds of beans, because I use a supplier up in the state of Washington. Anyway, so plenty. What do you need? How many truckloads you want?
So right now, with all the stuff that's going on, and there's just a lot of, not just internet hype, there's mostly, a lot of the radio talk show hype. There's definitely a lot of that. And your perspective on that and the background on what's behind these giant contracts that these big talk show hosts have to sell food reserves, and how that skewers their message in terms of always talking about a scarcity and get them while you still can and this kind of stuff. Well, what's the story going on there?
Well, I think you said it. I have to just call it like I see it. Many of these newer companies that have relationships with a lot of the talk show hosts and some of the larger blogs and so forth, they're marketing companies, and they're all the newer companies. None of these folks that are pressing this concern are what I would call the people that have been around, say, pre-Y2K, or even 30 years ago or plus. They're not the people doing this. These are the newer folks. It's a marketing,
marketing-driven,
myth, but it's what it is. None of the folks I've talked to, and as a matter of fact, I talked to my supplier, I sell some of these bulk items, of freeze-dried products, and I also talked to another at the trade show, the largest freeze dryer in the country, and I deal with the second largest. So we're talking very, very large processors of product, and if anything is an issue, it is getting product to the natural food industry and some of these other industries that are developing all kinds of new products. But as far as products themselves, the basics, they're there now. Whether other companies are buying from China, who knows? I don't do that. But all of the folks I've talked to, and I have, there's a few processors out there, it's just a matter of what do you want and how much do you want of it.
Now I'm looking at that, and there's a couple problems with what I see with the the fear mongering. It's like you cry wolf so many times, and people, some people, of course, stock up, buying out of fear, And, of course, other people are lulled into a, you know, their normalcy bias that just rejects any fear-based, market-driven, you know, attempts at all. They, you know, a lot of people just kind of pull back when they get when they hear that, and they just say, well, you know, this that's not what they're feeling or seeing. And so you get some people that are stocking up on foods, you know, over the years, listening to these radio talk show hosts. And you've got other people that are very complacent and very resistant to any a message that, you know, the doomsday scenario of what's coming. And a lot of people are just plain, you know, worn out or sick of that, or are stocked up and the market is kind of saturated with it. Now, from what I understand, this is kind of what's going on now, and that we're kind of in a window where there's so much surplus in one sense, because, you know, there have been aggressive marketing of food reserves to people that, you know, like the way gold is marketed. You know, it's always people that have been just really pushing gold and that it's going to go up and it's going to cost more or whatever. And you see that, and of course, now the darling of the metals market is silver. And we're seeing that, you know, the strong push with silver. And you can just kind of, you know, to have your finger on the pulse of this on this over the years, you can see that, you know, there's pluses and minuses, and that, of course, the time to buy, the real time to buy, is when no one else is buying and when there's a surplus.
Right, exactly. There is a product. And once again, I totally agree with you, fear sells. You've been in sales your whole life. And this is, you go to some of these different universities, and they'll say fear and greed, this is what you use. And it's not a very moral or ethical methodology of selling, but it's the human condition.
People buy on emotion. They buy on emotion.
Scare people enough, and you hear another talk show host or whatever, or other blogs. And some of these blogs are unlike nothing I've seen in all the 40 years I've been in this industry. It is straight to the most horrible scenarios you can think of.
Yeah, worst case
scenario. I'm not a prophet, and maybe it will be horrible. I don't know. I'm not going to say. However, how do you present this information to people, and how much do you empower people to make choices that are appropriate for them? When all these guys are saying, yeah, gee, buy this, buy that, and who cares what's going to happen, just buy it, that doesn't empower anybody. I've tried all these years to educate, to motivate people to make their own decisions. Everyone, the number one question I've got, by the way, on that blog, Learn to Prepare, you'll see the 12 critical questions. An important foundational blog and article. But the number one question is, so what scenario are you preparing for? What's your own particular perspective? And this is for everybody. Because I can't tell anybody, and I don't think anyone
let's go into that a little
world.
Bit, though. Because it's a good to go into that right now because, well, I've been focusing on that. You know, the three different scenarios that I'm seeing a lot. I try to keep my finger on the pulse of the collective conscience, you know, with the internet sources that I have and the media sources I have, and it's much easier to do that now than before the internet. I mean, you can do searches and you can get news feeds that you've learned to trust, you know, that are good over the years.
That's the key. Learn to trust.
Exactly. That you can learn to trust. And I've been, you know, just and I'm seeing a repeating pattern from three different perspectives, and one of them, and all of them are valid from their own perspective, and some of them aren't valid from the other perspectives, but you know, they're each valid from their own perspective. And when I say that, I mean you've got the religious perspective regarding Shemitah and what's going on here the latter part of September, and there's what is it, Jonathan Kahn is his name, I believe,
yes.
Doing videos, and he's got a very compelling message for people that speak that language and are into the ancient core Judeo-Christian understanding of Shemitah and Jubilee and judgment, and as far as judgment goes, as far as, you know, forgiveness of debts, and there's a lot of things that go with that, but how there's corresponding patterns that throughout recent history, throughout this century, actually throughout history, that follow this understanding of Shemitah. And I won't go into that in detail. I have that on some of my previous websites. But that's one perspective.
Right.
And another perspective is the scientific perspective that I've read about from multiple perspectives. And one of them is Dr. Atkins, and I have this up on the recent website that
I saw that.
Yeah. And his thing, what's going on with, there are energies that have been increasing from gamma ray energies, different types of cosmic ray energies from the core of our galaxy and the photon belt of our galaxy, where our solar system is about two-thirds of the way out but it's come into alignment in its 25,800 year precession of the equinox. It's in alignment with that photon belt, and there's been the surge of this energy, call it photonic energy or gamma rays or cosmic rays, but it's been kind of flooding virtually flooding the solar system, the Earth, increasingly for the last 20 years, and it's been kind of an accelerating, intensifying, and it's reaching a peak supposedly in September also. Now, this to me is kind of fascinating how this corresponds with the Shemitah prophecy that John Kahn and others are talking about. And there's just a lot of buzz about that. And then there's this other perspective of multiple converging events that the Internet has liberated with the instant everywhere interactive connection of people worldwide where things are being exposed that were, you know, all the secrets and the dark side stuff is being exposed and coming to the surface, and people all over the world are finding out about all kinds of breakthrough technologies, like free energy technologies that liberates us from petrochemical oil pollution, and quantum healing for energy technologies, and all these technologies for communications, you know, to upgrade representative government, you know, worldwide through social networks and through social networking in ways that will involve and evolve consciousness, and all kinds of liberating, and that's kind of reaching a critical mass. I don't know about being at September or whatever, but it's just at a time where worldwide there seems to be, you might say, but I like the light example, you know, of the cosmic light or cosmic rays, you know, flooding the Earth, that, you know, light brings up all in like itself. It's like there's a stimulation, and if these gamma rays do correspond to brain waves, you know, in the Schumann resonance of the Earth, which reflexes with the brain waves and which science, you know, shows that that's true, and if that is true, and that there's going to be a peaking of this into the latter part of September, what does this mean as far as the judgment of lower consciousness by higher consciousness? You know, with the darkness that comes up because of all the light, what does that mean?
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the scientific and the religious perspectives. It reminds me of something I read here recently, Sir Isaac Newton. Everybody's familiar with Sir Isaac Newton. You would say he's about as science-oriented as you could get. He was also a very devout Christian and studied Daniel quite a bit, the book of Daniel. And he, I don't know if you want to calculate is the right word, the number of days that Daniel talks about, and his starting point, as with some of the Christian folks also, was both the reemergence of Israel as a country and during the 67 war, the recapturing of all of Jerusalem. And so finally, after all these thousands of years, Israel became, in a sense, whole again. Jerusalem became the capital of Israel, Christendom, and so forth. So Isaac Newton kind of started from those days. I think it was the Jerusalem date. Did a whole bunch of calculations and comes up with, of all things, the end of September of next month.
Seriously, I haven't seen that. That's
you may want to look at that. That's another interesting. There's a lot of these little twists and turns that are out there. They don't get as much press as some of the books like Jonathan Kahn's book and the Shemitah and so forth, but it's interesting how many other things are out that point to next
month. Well, you know, he was...
take it for what it's worth, you know.
He was back at that time when, of course, his whole thing with science,
right.
Isaac Newton, it was the mechanistic model, you know, pretty much. And, of course, when I say that, the understanding of science at that time, we can say now is a primitive stage. But back at that time, he was also an astrologer. Most people don't realize, of course, he was into religion, too, big time. But he was also
right.
an astrologer. And they all were back then. Back at that time, they didn't separate science and religion. To them, at that time,
right.
science was an integral function of religion. And, of course, that's what got separated out, and now it's kind of coming back. It's kind of interesting that...
Yeah, and Sir Isaac Newton, of course, was very much into prophecy, into eschatology, the last day. It was his thing. He really, from the science perspective... tried to figure out from all these specific days and numbers that is in Daniel, the 70 weeks, the 1,200 some odd days, what does this all mean? Why were these numbers put into the Old Testament? And so it's fascinating.
So
you calculate all those days and the weeks and the times and what all that means, times and times and a half. You know, what does all this represent? And he tried to analyze it all and bingo, here we are.
He came up with September of 2020.
Yeah, I'd like to read that article again. I have it somewhere, I think. And it was just another one of those fascinating September convergences that we've talked about. And, you know, there's others, too, I'm sure you've read about, that somehow it just focuses in on September. And
I'm trying to coalesce the data, you know, bring the different corresponding perspectives together and what they have in common, it's not just the date they have in common or the timing right now, but and what does it mean, you know, philosophically? And again, is there an urgency to prepare? When I say that, I'm looking at I see that there's an urgency of something going to happen, and of course, see that there's a part of me that's like it's all in divine order. And that, you know,
right.
just keep the faith, you know, things are going to, the matrix is going to matriculate, you know, in a way that, you know, that's best for the earth. But at the same time, what's best for the earth is not for things to continue on as they have. I mean, you know, you can't have the petrochemical pollution of the environment, of the air, food, and water, and you can't have things continuing on with a medical industrial complex that's making a killing. You know, on the indirect cause of disease and on the treatment of disease, and you can't have, international civility progress with the trumped up wars, the endless wars that can continue seizing the resources of other countries in the name of God and country.
Yeah, so exactly what you say, in light of what you just said and what you said earlier about fear, and so what we have is a time, we live in a time of great uncertainty. People, nobody likes uncertainty. Business doesn't like uncertainty. Individuals don't like it. It's a very uncomfortable place to be.
Yeah.
So when one is, shall we say, uncertain, anxious, concerned, you study prophecy, you don't. You see the news, you don't. So you have a couple of choices here, as you mentioned earlier. You can react out of fear, because uncertainty can breed fear. And so if you react under the auspices of fear, then those decisions that people tend to make, it's just hit and miss. You might as well throw darts at the dartboard as far as having adequate provisions or an adequate attitude, whatever, because it's being motivated out of fear. That's a reaction.
Yeah.
And then, as you and I have talked about, the other option is, okay, I've looked around, I'm concerned, uncertainty bothers me, and I am concerned about it, I've reflected on it, and so we have what we call the critical thinking aspect, which I've taught here at the local college, and it's where people stop for a moment and say, okay, let me analyze, let me evaluate the facts. Let me do some research. Let me use my critical thinking skills. Hopefully they have them. And then, okay, I'm going to embrace. That was always my thing in the class. It was investigate, embrace, and embody. So you evaluate, and then you, okay, I've embraced this course of action. This is what I believe I need to do. This is the areas I believe I need to pursue. And then action.
No better to do better. You know, once you know better, I mean, and again...
And that's what I try to, and I'm sure you too also, try to encourage people and empower people to say, look, don't just react out of fear.
Yeah.
Because some talk show host or some blog is telling you it's all over and it's going to be... Because things could happen in September and nothing could happen in September. We don't know.
There's that common sense where you see a common pattern, though, ideally that gets our attention that there's something going on.
It's got your attention. A lot of people's attention, and you said earlier, you're either going to be motivated to investigate further, or you're going to get deeper involved in your own normalcy bias,
which is, of course,
the action to do inaction. And
yep.
So that's what's happening with that particular group, is that they're dedicated to inaction. What it ultimately takes, that's another discussion, to get people to say, okay, you got me now. Yes, convergence of all these issues, and I got to do something. And then we just hope that they follow. Well,
I call it common sense. I mean, you know, when I say common sense, it's uncommon. It's just like the fear issue.
Very uncommon.
It's like the fear issue. You know, a little, a healthy fear of fire is a good thing so you don't get burnt.
That's right. Well, absolutely. Exactly right, a healthy fear of fire. But then again, what some people that may have never seen fire, how do you approach, once again, the unknown, the uncertain? Do you jump into it, or do you approach it critically or with, as you said, common sense? So here we are at a very, very, I have no doubt in my mind, we're in a very transitory position. This is an age of transition.
Yeah.
And as we've said,
big time.
How will you go through this transition?
I have friends that get into this transition thing from a perspective of the Earth right now is at a stage that as a civilization, as a global civilization, we're just about to break free of the compartmentalized left brain thinking of nations, then the separation of nations and languages, and we're about to burst into a collective consciousness of ourselves as a whole, you know, the family of mankind in a global village. And of course, you get to the people that, you know, the MUFON people that are into the whole UFO, planetary, what's going on, that we're being monitored by thousands of cloaked ships all over the planet.
That's
watching
another
Earth,
perspective of what
that they're watching Earth at this time on their plasma screens. You know, like this is the biggest show in the universe right now because here's an entire planet about to pop into global consciousness of themselves as a whole. You know, the United Sovereigns of Earth, or whatever you want to call it, you know, and that's, to me, is like, ooh, that's big drama. You know, what a time to be alive here on the Earth, and ideally to realize what's going on in the planet as a whole. I mean, that's fascinating. It's kind of the cosmic love perspective.
Yeah, and I think it's also what you said about. This transformation. We live in transformative times, right? Okay, we all agree on that. And this transformation ultimately is going to affect everybody differently. Hopefully it affects enough people the same. I'm just reminded of a biblical verse that Paul writes in Romans, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And
That's what's definitely going on with the
human
resonance.
That's ultimately the great the great transformation is through the renewing of your mind. Of course, you get a whole discussion on what's the mind and how can the mind be renewed and all that sort of thing. But that's what you're saying. That's what a lot of these folks are saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Great transformation by the renewing of one's mind. And when that happens, of course, ultimately your worldview is transformed. You live a life that's more in tune with what is to be done, and not, you know, on the light side as opposed to the dark side. And so, yeah, we live in these transformative times, and it's going to happen, whether you like it or not.
Whether we like it or not.
People are going to go in there dragging and kicking. Others will be, as you say, going
ahead of
the
curve.
Other side.
Yeah, some people.
And others will just jump right in there and say, hey, I'm ready to go. Lay it on me here. And we live in great times.
This is the concept of the global mind and collective consciousness. The Internet's kind of brought us there in one sense, you know, that the instant, everywhere, interactive, global village, you know, social conscience and social networks maturing with a global conscience, you know, with the global mind. There's also the perspective of these cosmic rays that are flooding the earth, these gamma rays, and as a function of the increase of the Schumann resonance of the earth. I mean, this is a documented fact that the Schumann resonance used to be a standard, was it 7.3, 7.8, and historically, I guess, that's, you know, as long as they recorded it, up to about, what, I think it was the 80s or 90s, yeah, the 80s, that it was so stable that they used military communications based on the Schumann resonance of the earth, which is they sometimes refer to as the heartbeat of the earth. Well, that began shifting, and it's been increasing and increasing, and up to now I think about 11.7, but it's moved from the range of again 7.8 is what's referred to as it corresponds directly to the theta range, that's the high end of the theta range frequencies of the left brain. And as it's moved into the, you know, left brain dominance, you know, left brain linear logical, you know, letter of the law, so to speak, you know, which is the compartmentalized thinking thing of Western civilization in particular, that's been shifting. It's been increasing, and it's moved into the alpha range, which actually comes in about 7.8, 8 point, and it's moved up to about 11.7 now, this Dr. Atkins is saying it's going to be peaking around 13-14 in the latter part of September, and that's into the right, that's like the right hemisphere, right brain, nonlinear, spherical, intuitive, psychic. It's into a whole realm of, you know, of when I say common sense, it's nonlinear common sense. It's like intuitive knowing of what's going to be happening or what is happening. And it's like, also, there's a lot that goes with this. Right hemisphere thinking is sometimes referred to as coherent thinking from a heart-coherent perspective, because coherence is like the standard, you know, it's a frequency. It's like the fabric of the universe. There's the golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm, you know, heart coherence, that is like a frequency that is like a standard throughout the quantum field, like the universe. And so this is fascinating to me, that if we're going to be moving into a right hemisphere global mind way of thinking with heart coherence, the universal love is going to be an intuitive knowing that everybody has. I mean, I'd like to think that's going to happen. But, of course, if that happens, what does that mean? I mean, you know, how is it going to change all our social, political, and economic? If, you know, if TLC, you know, tender loving care, you know, of heart coherence, become some kind of a standard in the collective consciousness of humanity, what does that mean? You know, as far as, what's going to happen to the endless war insanity? Gone. What's going to happen to the medical industrial complex? Gone. You know, because there'll be all the, you know, true care, you know, true health care,
well,
compassion.
Well, you know, all of this is also, you talk about the convergence of these different perspectives, is what many Christians look at as the millennial age.
Yeah,
and,
millennials.
And exactly, the millennial age, the Christ reigns, Christ consciousness, Christ physically,
Christ age of freedom of love, and
all of this, and the lion lays down with the lamb, and all these wonderful things are supposed to be occurring in the millennial age. And you and I have talked about that. That's something I've kind of studied, and the the main thinking at this point is premillennial, meaning that Christ will return before the millennial age and everybody's going to be in great shape. But for those that have read the book of Revelation, there is an account of the transition. Those who
tribulation.
Resist and shake,
yeah.
tribulation. They shake their fist at God. How dare you do all this stuff? And during what you would some would call the tribulation, and then there are those that say yes, their hearts are aligned with this, and they look forward to it. They're in line with it, but there is going to be, and you wonder all the consciousness, what's going to happen? It's almost sit back and take a look at what is the resistance to this change going to look like.
The dark you're saying
side
it now.
Is not going to go. Peacefully into the great night. There's going to be a lot of resistance. There's going to
Their time is short. Their wrath is great, and they want to make everyone as miserable as they are.
Well, that's if that's exactly the dark side is going to say, I got to take down as many people with me as I can because this light's about to dawn.
The greatest fear.
And so let's throw out the fear. Let's throw out all of this stuff. And put it out there, and we're going to catch as many minds or souls, or whatever word you want to use, as possible.
Yeah.
And then the others are going to say, no, I want to be transformed through the renewing of my
heart. I'm going to the light.
Get on the light train here, and let's leave the darkness behind. But what this is going to look like and how the tribulation or how the transition is going to be is the great question.
Well, I see that happening now. In my expression is, sometimes it's darkest before the dawn. And when I say that, if you got light is reaching a peak, then light in terms of consciousness, if people are starting to lighten up, my understanding has always been is the greatest fear of the dark side or the fallen ones or whatever you want to call them, is that people will start to wake up to the machinations that keep people in the dark, the fearmongers and the people that continue to pull the wool over the eyes of the sheeple, the wolves in sheep's clothing. And if people start waking up to that, well, that's their greatest fear because, then they're roasty toasty.
Well, I've often people will look and say, well, how is it that some of these so-called leaders, they just seem to be the Teflon presidents and so forth.
Nothing
happens to them. All of this sort of thing, they can get away with all these things. And maybe I'm throwing a little bit out there, but why not? It'll be a little strange. You're familiar with the Faust legend. Faust sold his soul to the devil, and he was given all the goodies. So
he was given the goodies.
Money,
yep.
The fame, all of this stuff.
And he prestige and profit.
He was protected. I look at some of this and think I'm seeing the Faust legend to play out before my eyes, that a certain amount of folks have willingly sold their souls to the devil, whether it be politically or in the entertainment industry or in the corporate world. They're very wealthy, they're very powerful, and then you can really get behind the scenes to the puppet masters who are doing the strings behind it. And these folks have definitely, without a doubt, this is my opinion, sold their souls to the devil. The devil owns them. I cannot judge who they are. I can even look at their fruits and say, this isn't going to look too good. But I'm not going to judge their hearts or their souls. But I think an awful lot of people have sold their souls, and those are the ones that are not going to go easy here.
Into the light. They're not the dark side of the night is not going to go easy into the light, and all the perks of power, prestige, and profit, that they've accrued, and pride, of their power and their prestige, that they're basically this is what I call the transition that. And this is with the transition as things lighten up. When I say lighten up, if there is truly going to be an increase in the Schumann resonance, an increase in the frequencies of consciousness that gets more into the higher alpha range of coherence, heart coherence, and so the lightening up basically with the frequency of holy compassion or love, is really that's that right hemisphere coherence. You know, and if this is the case, and if this is what's going to happen, then the light will bring up all that's unlike itself in all of us, and each of us will go through a personal Armageddon in the sense that they're going to be wrestling with, you might say, the demons and devils of their own creation and their own consciousness. And that some people will go flipping crazy with this, and other people will keep the faith and experience self-elevation as salvation. I mean, salvation in terms of the heart of God, you might say, or the heart of Christic consciousness is a holy compassion, as far as a Christic, collective Christ consciousness, the second coming of Christ. I've always understood would be a coming of Christ in the collective consciousness of humanity, and that's what this, to me, I would love to think that that's going to happen.
Kind of an
amillennial
point of view. It's a spiritual coming, but that's a whole for another discussion.
Yeah.
You mentioned some of the magic words there, and I think I've read you this before, but I'll read it again. It'll take about 30 seconds to read you. Because I'm asked all the time, family, friends, I've talked on the phone, people call me up all the time, what's going on here? I don't understand it. I say the uncertainty. It just makes no sense. There seems to be so much evil. There seems to be so much hatred. I just don't understand. So you know my background and what I focus on. So I read them Ephesians 6:10-12, and it's something you just mentioned. For our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we have a spiritual warfare going on, and what you're saying, with all these different assessments as to whether it be scientific, whether it be religious, what have you, it's a spiritual warfare. And we're seeing it played out down here. I think you're going to see it. And the good news, we all know who wins.
Yeah,
we may lose a battle here and there, and whatever, and a few people and a few of the soldiers in the front ranks. But we know who wins the war, and how that looks, when that looks. That's what we're all waiting to see. But we know it's a spiritual warfare, and we know there's. I mean, I personally believe there is a dark and a light. That's just the way it is right now.
In this dense octave of incarnation, where the density.
Yeah, that's
here
right.
We are great. We are these great spirits having a human experience, and we think we're humans trying to have a spiritual experience.
That's right, and so that's the way I look at it. And all this is going to be happening. If people, and you know, I've said it all along. It's in my blogs. We talked about it earlier. Self-reliance is absolutely essential. We do, of course, need to be prepared. We need to be educated. We need to support our families, our community, biblically and common sense-wise. Being prepared for the unknown and for surprises and so forth is just a prudent thing to do. The Bible's filled with all kinds of messages like that. And yet, we also must not lose sight that ultimately it is a God reliance first. We have to have a spiritual basis for all that's going on, or when things get really tough, I mean really tough, that we've not experienced before, struggles and physical issues, pain, suffering, things that are going on in the Middle East right now, we must have, and this is my opinion, and I think the opinion of a lot of others that I've read, we must have a spiritual basis to look upon this, because it's essential. Our attitude, our spiritual attitude, whatever
because
it looks
no,
like
because
each
there's,
person.
There's no atheists in the foxhole.
Yeah, and that's actually going to be my, as I mentioned, to my next blog. What's the responsibility of the atheist in troubled times? There are no atheists in the foxhole. You cannot, in deep issues,
in a real
spiritual
crisis,
warfare, rely on yourself.
Yeah, you
it
have
just
to.
Doesn't work.
Community, spirituality. You know, you've got to have a connection with Well, the spirit that matters, you know, on earth as in heaven. You somehow you've got to.
That's
you,
right.
Because and when you're in a life and death struggle, it becomes very clear that, you know, when I say very clear, it becomes imminent that your relationship with the eternal, you know, with God or whatever, becomes very congruent. You know, it becomes a serious matter. So, Dennis, talking to you earlier today, I had a real revelation.
Oh, that's right.
Talking with you, I want to go into that because there's different reasons why people buy food reserves, and I always consider them as basically, you know, health, security and savings. You know, there's basic reasons, and one revelation I had talking with you and the window that we have right now, and I call it a window of opportunity or whatever. Because it's counterintuitive what's going on in the industry. People thinking that there's not a lot of food reserves out there and the prices are going up when it's almost just the opposite. And you actually told me that this Gourmet Reserves is one of the best food reserve lines out there that you've worked with and represented.
Well, I founded the company. I don't own it currently. It's owned by Katadyn, which is the world's largest producer of individual water filters and purifiers. And they have their, of course, North America. And they looked around for a company to buy because they have a company in Europe. And they chose my old company, or Alpine Air Foods, from the owner that had it at the time. Anyway, I work with them closely, and they've done a lot to increase products, marketing. Of course, Alpine Air Foods, you'll find them in all the major sporting goods stores. And, you know, this company was started, I started in 1979. So we have a track record. People love the product. It's high quality, so forth. And when we had all of these accolades in the pouch products back in about 1989, we started canning them for food reserves and called that particular division Gourmet Reserves. And it was the same quality, all natural, just add water, or if you want some basic commodities, you can use those too. But a little bit of everything is available. Anyway, start at very high quality, no preservatives, we don't use sugar as a calorie base. And so Katadyn now, of course, is promoting that product and has a significant inventory. I've talked to them all the time, and they have offered us a 25% discount.
And you passed that on to consumers.
Yeah, I passed that on. It's a 25% discount off of, I think, the system that you have
on the website.
You've linked to is about
it's about an $8,000 system.
About $8,000. So you're looking at the $2,000 discount. And by the way, I'll throw this out. Obviously, I'm interested in getting people to learn and educate and be involved in that in research. But yes, I do sell product too, because that's what I've been doing for 40 years. And I was just thinking, you know, I'd like to encourage people, if they feel motivated to get this, go to my website if they have to. That's a Learn to Prepare for information. If they want to just email me something, have any questions, I'd be glad, because it's a significant investment. If you're going to invest $6,000, and that's a year supply for two, or 2 year supply for one, all quality product.
And full disclosure here, you know, listeners should know that I'm coming at this from a perspective of enlightened self-interest myself, because I've been doing food reserves going back to the 70s, Dennis has, and I have, the Dennis is one of my suppliers. You know, I'm a distributor for Dennis. And I do this with another company on my website that I have, and there's different pluses and minuses with a different one with the comparable prices. But I was talking with Dennis this morning about how, you know, back during Y2K, I had a 4 year package for four people for $4,000, and how much it's gone up now. We're talking about, you know, for two people for 1 year, that's up around $8,000 down to $6,000, and how the price of food has increased more than any other commodity.
Necessary
commodity.
You're right.
Family commodity. More than gold, more than gold has gone up. And it's just that it was like it's something like eight or ten times increase from back of the way it was 1970. And Dennis was sharing that food, when you buy it as it is with his, you know, for the in the food reserve package, now it's with $2,000 off the $8,000 amount, it comes out to down to about $8 a day for all the calories you need.
That's right.
For health, and $8 a day. I mean, the savings, just buying it that way, because the way they discount the bulk, and of course the quality is there, but to have quality foods for $8 a day, the savings for people to get it for, you know, just if they want to eat out of the food reserves on an occasional or regular basis,
these are not weird looking foods. These are foods you'd be familiar with. You'd get on a camping trip, backpacking, convenience. You know, we're not selling. There's no sugar in any of these products. And oh, by the way, if anybody is interested in this, it's free shipping. There is no additional shipping charge.
That's a good point, because across the country, that much food can be really expensive.
Okay, and here's what I'm going to do for you. I'll just throw it out there. I was thinking about this earlier. I'll just make this quick here because we're not at time. I have a whole bunch of other stuff. I'd like to throw in something extra just for folks that are happen to be listening to this program. This 25%, I don't think they have to race out and immediately order it in the next 10 minutes, because that's not fair. They have to think about it. It's a major investment. If they want to ask questions, here I am. Or they can.
But it should be around for a week or two, shouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. A week or two. I definitely should be that long. I'll throw in something I was thinking. What little bonus for the people that are happening to be listening today, and if they happen to mention this, I'll do it. I just went camping a couple of weeks ago. One of my favorite gizmos that I took on a camping trip is called a Torch 250. It's by Goal Zero. It is one of the essentials in an emergency is lighting. And even charging your cell phone if you have to. So this interesting gizmo is not only charged by a solar panel, it's a small hand lantern and flashlight. It's
Those are really nice.
This is one of their brand new models, and it's got a dynamo hand crank. You can charge it through a USB port. But I use it. It was my main lighting source in this camping trip. And I thought, I'll give it, if somebody just motivated. It's about an $80 item if you were to go out and buy it.
I wanted to add something on to that. We're going to have to do a wrap here in just a few minutes, but I wanted to add on that I'm throwing in on that package, that $8,000 package is now $6,000. I'm throwing in $1,000 worth of the Swedish pollen extract and the Prescriptisys, which is the probiotic for the immune system, the number one rated probiotic, and the Swedish pollen extract for the endocrine system, for the immune system. The two immune systems, they're really medical health supplies that go with the food reserve, because it's not what you eat, it's what you assimilate. And the probiotic, you'll get more nutrition, food value, for the food. And with the pollen extract, your endocrine system, which is stressed, because you usually wouldn't have to use a system unless there's a lot of stress, it feeds the endocrine system like micronutrient mitochondria rocket fuel. And there's more information on that on the website, but the website I have on that, if people order through me, when I'm ordering through Dennis.
They'll order everything through you.
If they order through me, they'll get that $1,000 extra worth of the Swedish pollen extract. That's two cases of 12 bottles each of the Prescriptisys and the pollen extract. So I was going to throw that in. So this is kind of special. I figure while the window's open, and we're being philosophical about this, all the perks of what we can offer.
I want to let people know, it's kind of interesting. Oh, my goodness, I just did this whole program. When you called me just to say, hey, maybe we ought to get to you, you didn't even know that there was that 25% discount.
I didn't even know that. I did not.
Yeah, you just wanted to get people kind of motivated here at this particular
and aware
point in time.
And aware what's going on and what are the resources available, because I'm an old Eagle Scout, be prepared to meet in my bones, and I've been doing this for 30 years myself, and if not 40 years, and I'm really into what I can do. I figure light and self-interest to help other people prepare, I'm going to be more prepared myself.
Well, that's what it's all about. I'm glad we were we kind of got together today.
Yeah.
And just happened to talk about other issues like the food, what's going on in the industry, and so forth. And so there it is. It all came together. And if people are interested, fine. If they're not interested, that's fine too. But hopefully this will motivate some folks that have been sitting on the
There you go. Dennis, what's your phone number so people can call you?
They can call me at, I'll give you my 800 number. It's 800-775-1991.
Okay.
And I'm here in California. So, but 800-775-1991.
And they can call me at 406-333-4274. And if you call Dennis to order that same package to get the $1,000 of supplements, the probiotic, prescriptus, and the pollen extract, just mention my name, and Dennis will credit that, and you'll get that extra $1,000 worth. Or
right.
You can call me directly,
well,
order for me.
That's great. That. I didn't know you were going to do that either. I feel a little bad. I get, well, we're at 25% off. I've given $2,000 discount, and that's pretty good.
It's a good. Of course, it doesn't cost me that much because I'm the supplier of the Swedish pollen extract. And of course, I'm a supplier.
Yeah.
You know, I've been for some time on my internet website of the prescriptus,
right.
But my margins aren't that big. But I'm basically moving it out at my cost. I mean, you know, when I say that, I'm really. It doesn't, you know, my cost as a distributor of that also, and actually a source of the pollen extract. I'm a
right.
You know, manufacturer direct on that. So, you know, I'm passing that on, and it's just like it's like this is like a window. I figured, hey, I got my finger on the pulse. I see what's coming in September, and you know, make hay while the sun shines.
Yeah, one last time, once again, I love talking with folks. I've been doing it for so long. It's almost a ministry for me to help folks out, and especially when they're going to invest. Yeah, 800-775-1991.
No, Dennis, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Christopher.
I'm grateful, and by God's grace and God's time, you know, we'll all be meeting together in the by and by.
Exactly. Blessings.
Blessings to all. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Happy trails till we meet again.
May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.